This week, our study has brought us to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the seventh verse of this fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul declares, or sort of commands them, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you might be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Christ, our Passover. This, of course, takes us back to the Old Testament. The time when the children of Israel were still in captivity in Egypt, under the bondage of slavery. God had called Moses to go to the Pharaoh and demand that he set them free. But Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Lord. And God began to plague the Egyptians. It only caused the Pharaoh to harden his heart all the more. Until they came to the final plague, in which the Lord declared that He would then allow the children of Israel to go free. In this final plague, God declared that he would pass through the land and slay the firstborn in every family, but that the children of Israel might be spared the grief of the death of their firstborn, God made provisions. In Exodus chapter 12, we read concerning this Passover. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt and said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all of the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to the house of your fathers, a lamb for each house. And if the household is too little for the lamb, then join with your neighbor next door and take it according to the number of people that will be eating it. This shall determine the number of lambs. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It is to be a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And everyone in Israel shall kill their lamb in the evening. And then they are to take the blood and put it on the two side posts and upon the upper doorpost of the houses where they shall be eating it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread. And they shall also eat bitter herbs. And they shall not eat it raw or boiled in water, but roast it on the fire, the whole lamb. You are to eat it so that nothing remains in the morning, and if anything remains, burn it in the fire. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will kill all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all of the gods of Egypt, for I am Jehovah. The blood shall be for a sign upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day will then become a memorial day, and you shall keep the feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep the feast as an ordinance forever. For 7 days you will eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall get rid of all of the leaven in your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from this day until the 7th day shall be cut off from Israel. And on the 1st day there shall be a holy gathering. And on the 7th day there shall be a holy gathering. No manner of work shall be done in them, except that which every man needs to do in order to eat. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this very day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And so the Jews to the present day observe the day of Passover, the feast of Passover. When they take those things that remind them of the tears and the bondage in Israel, in Egypt, the tears they shed because of the hard labor that they were forced to do for the Egyptians. And where they take the lamb and they take the unleavened bread and they are reminded of how God set them free and brought them into the land that he had promised unto their father Abraham to give it to him and his seed forever. This deliverance from Egypt was one of the most important events in the history of Israel. And from now on, God will identify himself to his people as the God who brought you out of your bondage in Egypt. And as you go through the Old Testament, as God announces himself to the people, he announces, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. And they are to remember God's deliverance of them from that bondage in Egypt. It was to be celebrated annually in two feasts, actually. The feast of Passover, followed by the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. These feasts would remind them, first of all, how that by the sacrificing of the lamb and putting the blood on the doorpost, their families were spared the death of their firstborn. The lamb without spot or blemish, its blood sprinkled with hyssop on the lintel and the doorposts of the house. The lamb, as it were, became a substitute for the firstborn child in the family. And the blood on the door of the house declared their faith in the promise of God that if that blood were there, the Lord would pass over that house and the firstborn would not be slain. The unleavened bread, however, spoke of the haste with which they were to leave Egypt. The Pharaoh waking up in the night, finding his firstborn son dead, called unto Moses and said, get out of here immediately. And so the unleavened bread reminded them of the haste with which they left the land of Egypt. No time for the bread to rise, so eat it without leavening it. Now the leaven was the sourdough, the starter dough that they would use from one batch of dough to another. They would always keep a bit of the old dough, the starter dough, and as they would mix up a new batch of dough, they would take a little bit of the starter dough and put it into the new batch. And this was the rising agent in the bread. Actually, it caused the bread to rise by, as it rots, little bits of gas are released, and those bits of gas aerate the dough so that you get a fluffy dough of bread, or the bread rises because of the gases released as the dough begins to sort of rot. And they would always take a little of that dough from the new batch and save it so that they could keep the starter going from batch to batch to batch. And so the starter that they had for their bread was called leaven. But they didn't have time for the bread to rise. Thus, they were to eat it without the leaven. Later on in scriptures, leaven became an interesting type for sin. because sin is rottenness within a person, and a little tolerated sin begins to permeate a person's life until their life is filled with sin. In the church, tolerated sin can permeate through the church. And so in context here, Paul is writing to the Corinthians concerning this evil that they were tolerating within the church. There was a mother who was living in an incestuous relationship with her own son. And they were allowing them full fellowship within the church. They had not really dealt with this sin within the body. And Paul is writing to them to get rid of this leaven, this sin within the body, because he said, don't you realize that a little leaven will leaven the whole loaf? The whole church can be affected by the toleration of this sin within the body. He's rebuking the Corinthians for allowing into the fellowship this couple, telling them to separate that couple, to put them out of the church. The softness towards evil, the tolerance of sin, has become one of the great curses to the church. All it takes is a little toleration, and the whole church can be infected by it. There's a modern proverb that sort of expresses the same truth, and that is, all it takes is one rotten apple to spoil the whole barrel. The idea is how it spreads through and can spoil the whole barrel of apples, and so the church can be affected and hurt by allowing and tolerating sin within it. Going back into the history of Israel again, we remember after the children of Israel conquered Jericho as they were coming into the land, the next city they came to was Ai, much smaller than Jericho, not nearly as formidable a city as far as walls and all. Some of the men said to Joshua, hey, you don't need to send the whole army. We'll go over and take care of this little city, and we'll bring back the spoils of war. But as they came against Ai, the men of Ai came out, and they were defeated. They came retreating back to Joshua, leaving some of their men dead there in the battlefield. And Joshua cried unto the Lord, and the Lord said, Joshua, there is sin in the camp. And so they sought to find out what was wrong. And you remember the story of Achan, how that he had hid some of the treasure from Jericho, which God said, this is the first city, it all belongs to me. You can split the loot when you get to the other cities, but this belongs to me. And he hid some of it, and the whole nation was troubled. Why have you troubled us? Joshua said to Achan, your sin has brought us defeat before the enemies. The necessity for purity within the fellowship, within the body of Christ. So Paul declares to them, Christ is our Passover. The answer to sin, of course, is Jesus Christ. He is the sacrificial lamb that was slain for our sins. When John the Baptist was standing with some of his disciples and Jesus came walking by, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, our Passover. And only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can we be purged of our sin in our lives. Jesus Christ was our substitute lamb. He shed his blood for us. that we might be spared death that was demanded by the righteous judgment of God. The book of Hebrews tells us that it's impossible that the blood of bulls or goats could actually put away your sin. Peter said, we've been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold from the empty lives that we once lived, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain as a lamb without spot or blemish. Christ, Paul said, is our Passover. He is our Passover lamb. It was his blood applied to our lives that frees us from the sentence of death and the judgment of death. When God passed through the land of Egypt, every household that was not protected by blood on the door found that the firstborn in that family was dead the next morning. From the Pharaoh's house to all of the servants of Pharaoh, even the strangers that were in the land, those that were not protected by the blood on their doors experienced the horrible grief of waking up to find their firstborn child dead. We read in Exodus 12:29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat upon the throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all of the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. No one escaped. God made provision for escape, but without that provision, no one escaped. All of us, the Bible said, have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. God has made provision for the forgiveness of our sins, that we don't have to die as the result of our sins. That provision is in Jesus Christ, and through his shedding his blood for us, we can have forgiveness of our sins. We don't have to suffer the death. But that is the only provision God has made. And thus, to reject Jesus Christ is to reject God's only means of escaping the penalty of death for your sin. Therefore, Paul said, let us keep the feast. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said to them that these feasts, these Sabbath days and all, were just a shadow of the things to come. The substance is Jesus. These things foreshadowed the coming of Jesus. They were foreshadowing of that which he would do. So as the Jews kept it up until the time of Christ, they kept it as a memorial. To them, it was a reminder. It was looking back to that experience of their fathers in Egypt when God spared the firstborn of their families because the family was covered by the blood that was upon the doors of their houses. But though it looked back to Egypt, it was also looking forward to that day when God would send his only begotten Son, who would be the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And so there was a backward look, but also a forward look to that which Jesus would do. He is the substance. They all pointed ahead to him. And thus, it was no accident that Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover. You remember that the evening before he had eaten the Passover supper with his disciples. He had told the disciples to go into the city, follow a man that was carrying a jug of water, and at the house where he carries the water, talk to the master of the house and tell him that you want it prepared, that you were going to have the Passover with your disciples there. And so they did as Jesus commanded, and they made ready the Passover. So Jesus came with his disciples, and he said, with the desire have I desired to eat this feast or this Passover with you. And it was in the evening. Now, with the Jew, their day starts at 6 o'clock or at sundown in the evening. Their day goes from sundown to sundown. Our day goes from midnight to midnight. We start the new day right after midnight. We enter into the new day. Not the Jew. Their day goes from sundown to sundown because, as you read in Genesis, it was evening and it was morning the first day. It was evening, it was morning the second day. And so because of that, they begin their day at the evening. And it's just traditional. So the fact that Jesus had the Passover supper with his disciples in the evening, before that day, Jewish day, was over, by the time evening came the following day, he had been crucified on the cross. So the Passover was fulfilled. As Paul said, he is our Passover, or Jesus or Christ is our Passover. He had fulfilled all that the Passover was picturing or foreshadowing, God's provision to save you from death through the sacrifice of the Lamb in your stead. So Paul tells us then, let us keep the feast. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us. And so in the church, we have what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. And this Thursday night, again, we'll be keeping this ordinance in the church, the Lord's Supper, as we take the unleavened bread and as we take the cup. But Jesus, at the feast with his disciples, gave new meaning. He said, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. The leaven in our lives. Anyone with a talent for sinning, we couldn't let you display them this Saturday. We wouldn't have time. But but thank God he's made provision to get rid of the leaven. And that provision is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us. Purge out therefore the leaven. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sins. And so Paul tells them to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Purge out the old leaven. And even as Christ is, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness. In the 11th chapter, as Paul will again talk to them about the Lord's Supper, when the church gathers together to eat the bread and drink the cup, he will tell them in chapter 11, therefore, let a man examine himself. We're to purge out the leaven. He said, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And then he warns that if we eat or drink unworthily, we are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And therefore, we need to examine ourselves. And we need to purge out that old leaven. It'll destroy you if you tolerate it. We can't have tolerance for evil within us, because it will grow. It will defile your whole life if you tolerate the evil. He is telling you, purge it out. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. It is so simple. The Lord just said, confess. And he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you. And I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As you sit here this morning, it could be that the Holy Spirit is bringing into your consciousness some leaven that you've been tolerating in your life. Issues that you know you should deal with and haven't dealt with, and it's begun to have an effect upon your relationship with God. It's beginning to permeate your whole life. The rottenness of it is beginning to infect you. But you know, just as you sit there, if in your heart you'll just say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess my sin. Wash me, Lord, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Just that simply. God will wash and cleanse you from that sin. So simple. God said, come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. Red like crimson, you can be as white as wool. Even now, you don't have to carry the burden of sin home with you. You don't have to go on with that guilt complex, that tormenting thought of, oh, how could I have done that? Oh, I'm so miserable. And you don't have to carry that anymore. You can be relieved and delivered from sin, because Christ is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. And thus I would encourage you to, even as you sit there, just ask God to wash you and cleanse you. Acknowledge your sin and ask forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because Christ is our Passover, who was sacrificed for us in order that he might purge out the leaven that was defiling our lives. Shall we pray? Father, what a joy and what a blessing it is to know that our sins have been forgiven, that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that, Lord, in your love for us, you have purged us, washed us, cleansed us from our sin. Lord, we receive now that work of love within our lives, the washing now, putting away, Lord, of the past guilt, as we become new people in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Christ is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? It may be that you'd like to sort of seal the deal. And I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you so that you can know that your sins are forgiven, that you can know that you have eternal life. God wants you to have that assurance. He wants you to have that knowledge. We know, John said, we've passed from death unto life. You can know that. And God wants you to know that. So I'd encourage you to go back there and just make certain. Because there's no need for you to carry your guilt home with you. There's no need for you to be plagued and condemned by your past. God will bring that all to an end today if you'll just come to Him. And you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for our sins.